Hello, everybody. This is Patricia Corey bringing you Beyond the Matrix. So one more time, this is the show that dares you to think outside the box of convention. And man, if you haven't started yet, it is definitely time to do that as the world spins into some pretty interesting developments that we're all going through at this time. And, you know, it's 9-1-1. How much more media hype do we have to have about this? I'm getting so tired of it. Turn off your sets and tune into the alternative programs where you might get some truth about what's coming down. And by the way, speaking of truth coming down, a lot of people are talking about 9-1-1 and what really happened and what it really means. It is being revealed, and the truth is coming out. The truth eventually always does. So before I bring in my pretty interesting guest here, very interesting guest, I would like to just remind you that the Sacred Journeys programs are already gathering a lot of interest, particularly the February Egypt trip. So if you're interested in coming with me and going into the temples where pharaohs dwell, be sure to write to me at info@syrianrevelations.net and ask to be put on the priority list so you can get on that program before it sells out. Alrighty. Well, no, considering how quickly time flies on the show, I would like to immediately introduce you my very fascinating guest, Paul Droxton. He's got a website called www.moneyteachers.org, and I've asked him to come on today to speak about how he perceives what's really going down in the financial manipulation that's going on, what he perceives is coming next, where it came from, and God, who knows, we might even get to some other conversations that he's into about one world order and planetary shifting. I mean, we're going to cut it loose today. So we don't know where we're going exactly, but we know we're in good hands. Paul is a person with experience in so many camps, I don't even know where to start, but he is particularly versed in finance management and gold and silver, which is something I want to talk about. So here he is. Hi, Paul.
Hi. How you doing, Pat?
Great. Thank you for coming on the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, I don't know where to begin. I mean, I keep bumping into you on the internet. So I said, I've got to meet this guy. And of course, we've already connected before the show. But, I'm just fascinated in so many things that you are, let's say, kindred spirit about. But I'd like to start with some conversation about, how you perceive the whole manipulation of this financial so-called collapse, the so-called return, the stock market up and down. I mean, what in the world is coming down?
Well, you know, it's a good question. And, you know, we come back to, no matter how you look at this thing, as we come back to that, this is probably, we've witnessed the greatest theft of a nation's wealth in the history of the world. And when I say nation, I should be saying nations. And what I mean by that is that when you take a look at what's being reported in the news right now, it doesn't reflect at all what's really going on. One of the things that you know, your listeners should think about, really be concerned about, is that in June of this year, Pat, the Securities and Exchange Commission decided that they were no longer going to honor Freedom of Information requests.
Yeah, how do they get away with that? I mean, isn't that supposedly of course, what a stupid question. How does anybody get away with anything in the corporate structure? But just kind of slipped that right in, and not too many people became aware of that fact.
Exactly. And the thing about it is what that means is that investigative journalists, like you, like me, we don't have access to any of the corporate filings. Normally, a corporation will file an annual report with the Securities and Exchange Commission once a year. That's right around November. But they've got quarterly filings. There's auditors that go out and look at their books from the SEC to make sure that there's no fraud involved. There's so much information that comes out between these annual financial reports that we need to have access to them to know what's going on. So individuals that are investing in the stock market right now, you need to know that this is the year that that market's coming down. And when I predict that by November 1st of this year, that you're going to see probably the biggest stock market correction in history.
What do you think is going to happen? I mean, it's, you know, for a lot of us that are real lay people here, when you say correction, I mean, are you talking about collapse?
talking about collapse. If you think in terms of what happened with Nazi Germany and what they did to create Adolf Hitler, they're doing that on a global basis right now. So what they've done is they have diluted the dollar right now to where it's meaningless. And they've done that by just continuing to print and give them away, either through these bailouts, through other programs, through military spending. And the point is that if you take a look at Obama's administration, he has accumulated more debt than any president, and more debt than the last five presidents combined.
Right, but if you listen to Obama or his crew, the rap is that they inherited the problem from Georgie Bushy.
Which is true. I mean, I think the problem goes all the way back to Woodrow Wilson, and that's the Federal Reserve System. You know, you have a system in place right now where individuals, a private corporation that's run by the Bank of England and also by the Rothschilds in Europe, that private corporation charges us interest to use their money. So for every Federal Reserve note in circulation, every dollar bill, $5, $10, whatever, we pay 6% interest on that face amount per year.
How do we pay that? In what form? You talking about taxes?
Yeah, the IRS was created the same time as the Federal Reserve Act. So the way that we pay for interest for using their currency is through income taxes and through other taxes.
Well, you know, you mentioned the Rothschilds, and it was the Rothschilds, I don't know who of the clan, that said, if you want to control a country, you don't need to control them by military means. You just need to control the currency.
Correct. And this is why I advocate, Pat, that individuals, if you truly hate the system, which you should because it's stealing from you, and because it's corrupt, and because these people are satanic psychopaths, the best way for you to deal with them is to pull your money out of cash-based investments. Get out of the stock market, get out of the bond market, get out of the money market. And what I'm talking about is your long-term savings. I'm talking about your retirement funds. Pull those things out, and you need to go into gold and silver, because we don't pay interest to the Federal Reserve when we use gold and silver. So it literally, when you pull your money out of the system, that is the most effective way that you can send a message to these people.
Is it you that said that they're rapidly pushing us toward a, let's say when the money crashes, the next step will be having us completely addicted by credit and debit cards only, no cash in the system?
Yeah, I believe it's going to go one step further than that. I think what they're going to do when they bring this thing down, and there's going to be other things that, you know, are around this, you're going to see some very major false flag operations happening, I believe, this fall. And I believe that what you're seeing right now in the news, where it talks about, you know, these ministers that say they're going to burn the Quran, and then the demonstration in Afghanistan, that's all put together by the intelligence, you know, agencies. It has absolutely nothing to do with the people.
And well, so they're already the best way to control people is conquer and divide. It worked for the Romans. It's going to keep working through time immemorial.
Exactly. And so what their plan is, you know, is to get Islam fighting Christianity, one world against one side of the world against the other side of the world. And the whole purpose of this is their agenda is global depopulation. They've talked about it in so many different areas.
Like?
So if you go to the Georgia...
war situation?
What's that?
Are you talking about a holy war Armageddon situation?
I'm talking about what we're going to see is all-out war between the forces of Russia, China, South American countries, I believe, will be aligned together with the Islamic nations and some of Africa against the West, the United States, Canada, Europe. And it's going to be a global conflict, and there won't be any quarter given.
So what good will it do whether we have gold or silver in a situation like that anyway?
Well, I don't know when that's going to take place. I don't know when this war is going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen right away. I think the first step for them is to just take down the currency and take down the economy. When that happens, gold and silver will be the only legal tender because no one will accept anything else.
Oh, gloom and doom, Paul. Gloom and doom.
Well, there's good things coming, too. I won't say it's
a good thing.
Okay, so good things coming. You have to look at things. If you look at things from a karmic, you know, look at things from karma, right? There has to be a balance. Balance has to be achieved. When there's injustice, when there's murder, when there's pillaging and plundering, eventually those that are involved in these crimes have to be called into account. I believe God runs things. I think that what you're going to see is a cleansing. These people have plans to destroy the good, but their plans are going to destroy themselves. And, you know, God's going to permit it because this world is going to go through a major cleansing, just like it did back with the flood. I mean, you're going to see individuals that are evil. They're going to be taken off this earth, and it'll be restored, you know, to a great place to live again. I mean, right now, can anybody say that this is what we want, you know, with our society, with our communities, with our families? Are we where we want to be right now?
I would definitely say that for the main picture, the earth is at about as much disharmony as it can.
Exactly. And there has to be balance. I mean, there has to be justice. Justice assumes two things. One, it assumes that, it goes beyond the punishment of the criminal. And it takes us to the next level, which is restoration of the victim. You know, when we talk about man's justice, all man can do is we can punish criminals. That's it. And when you start talking about
that, the problem is that the criminals are the guys that are running the law.
Yes.
Now let's take it to the next step. We talk about them. Obviously, we're talking about the One World Order.
Correct. Also known as the Illuminati, Zionists, right. Globalists, whatever you want to call them.
All right. So we've got this group that we love so much. And, a lot of people ask themselves, what's in it for them? I mean, destroying the planet to the point that it's absolutely on the ultimate brink of complete breakdown, what good does that serve these ruling cats? And I've had some interesting conversations with some very knowledgeable people, and one of them recently was Jim Mars, I'm sure you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Mars and I were talking about the fact that they really are already on Mars terraforming the planet,
mm-hmm.
and that they're planning to make their exit when it's time is needed. What do you think about that?
I think that when you take a look at their history, and you can trace the conspiracy all the way back to the Knights Templar in Europe. And the Knights Templar, their philosophy was a Gnostic philosophy. Gnosticism is at the base of the Church of Satan. It's at the base of, Satanism. It's at the basis of the worship of Lucifer, and it goes all the way back to Plato. So what these guys really are is they're Greek philosophers, and they also buy into ancient mystery religion. So what you end up with is these people believe that all of us came from a common entity that they call Lucifer, the angel of light.
The Illuminati?
This is the Illuminati, correct.
Okay.
So they believe we all came from this big glob of ether is what it's called. And if you go back and study Plato described five elements, earth, wind, fire, air, and the last element he described was aether, or ether. Aether mm-hmm. basically is spiritual matter.
Sure.
So when they start talking about the collective consciousness, when they start talking about interconnected, you know, our interconnected man, what they're really referring to is they're referring to the ether, not the physical elements, but the ether that's inside of us, that they believe is inside of us. And they believe that this ether came from Lucifer, and it's going to return to Lucifer once it's been purified. So the Illuminati believe that the best way to purify ether is through reincarnation. That every time we come back to this earth through reincarnation, then we come back in a pure form of ether. So for them, murdering and genocide and things like that, they honestly believe they're doing mankind a favor.
Well,
Because
and yet, most people that talk about the Illuminati refer to their practice of satanic rituals and worshiping of that dark force.
Correct. And they view, see, Satan is a different, they worship two entities. One is Lucifer, which is the entity I just described, and the second entity is Satan. Now, they don't really worship Satan so much as they use or they appease him, but they view him as necessary for destroying the elements, freeing the ether, so that it can either reincarnate or it can go back to where it came from, which is Lucifer. This is the Illuminati philosophy.
How do you get this information, Paul?
Oh, gosh, years and years and years and years of research.
Wow. So they're trying to bring humanity down to the lowest vibration to appease this so-called satanic force.
Yeah. I mean, to them, Satan is the destroyer that destroys the elements so that the ether can be freed and then rejoin with Lucifer. You go back and study Gnosticism. Gnosticism pretty much lays it all out. In Gnosticism, there's basically the elements I talked about and aether. Aether came from Logos under Gnosticism. And then the Demiurge is an entity that exists on this earth that's trying to keep the aether here. So they believe that Satan is trying to keep us trapped within the physical elements, and our aether is really trying to get back to Logos.
So how does that fit in with the deliberate sabotaging of the oceans and ecosystems of the planet? I mean, there can be no question about the Gulf in my eyes. How about you?
I agree with you. I mean, that was a Rothschild operation. I mean, if you take a look at the major oil companies, British Petroleum is actually owned by J.P. Morgan, or should I say they own 35% of the company, which makes them the major stockholder. And J.P. Morgan, you can trace it right back to the Rothschilds. So absolutely.
And there's been another explosion a couple of days ago in the Gulf again, which got very little press.
Exactly. It's just more the same. I mean, their goal, remember, is they want their goal, collective goals, they believe by killing off humanity, they force us to come back as reincarnated beings at literally a higher ether level or more ether. So it's all about ether content with these people. Now, when you think in terms of eugenics, when you think in terms of racism, these are the most racist people you're ever going to meet. They believe that the darker an individual's skin is, the lower their ether content, and the more necessary it is to force them to go through reincarnation, which means if you take a look at the genocidal programs that these people have implemented, look what they've done to Africa.
Oh, yeah.
Look what they've done to Haiti. Look what they've done to other areas, you know, where blacks are the dominant population. They literally want to wipe out the black race. That's their goal, because they want to force the blacks to reincarnate to the next highest level. And everything with them is about skin color. Their ideal man, the person they believe to be the enlightened masters, are individuals that are white. They either have the characteristics of Adolf Hitler's ideal. So we're talking about the Aryans.
Well, I got news for them. The Aryan prototype is rapidly diminishing on planet Earth as all of these other races are blending into, you know, we've got so much interracial relationships now, and the white, I think it's now a minority on this planet, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, the thing is one of the things about the Illuminati is they make up about 1% of the population. So the true blue Illuminati, they're forbidden to marry outside of specific bloodlines. There's 13 bloodlines that Fritz Springmeier identified. And the 13 Illuminati bloodlines, they all go back to Charlemagne in the Merovingian dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
And these 13 bloodlines basically are protected. So an individual who's born into one of the 13 bloodlines cannot intermarry with someone who is not a member of one of the bloodlines. That's how they protect their lineage.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so let's talk about this massive genocide plan, because, you know, are you Of course, you're up to date on what's happening in the Gulf with this new blue plate.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they're doing? You think that this is the beginning of a extermination program for that area?
I think that they realize that the most effective way to exterminate mankind is through disease. That is, they've said it. They've come out and publicly stated that. I think, I can't remember who said it, but he said he wanted to come back as a bacteria so that he could wipe out mankind. And I can't remember.
So charming.
Yeah, really nice people. So I think that what they're doing is, if you look at what was dumped in the Gulf, it's Corexit. Corexit is, what it does is it breaks down fat. So it breaks down fat cells. Now you've got to protect, you've got a protective layer of lipids or fats that basically allows your skin to block out bad bacteria. So Corexit actually breaks that layer down and opens the body up to infection. And that's what you're seeing down along the Gulf, is these people, they're bleeding from, you know, every orifice. They're breaking out in these rashes. Well, it's the same symptoms that you see with AIDS or any other disease where the immune system is being compromised. So their goal is first of, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
So their goal, first of all, is to break down the immune system, and then they can introduce these viruses and these bacteria.
So you think that they're, that the, all right, the original act of sabotaging the Gulf and all this oil spill, I don't believe for a minute that that was an accident. Do you?
No.
Okay.
They did
so do you think it was the platform for them to start using this Corexit?
Correct. And the thing about it, they had other ways that they could have gotten rid of the oil that they dumped. The easiest way would have been just to take bales of straw and just to use bales of straw on the oil, and it would have, they would, straw would have absorbed it, and they could have just taken it and shipped it out. They've used that before. But they also have a bacteria, as you know, that eats petroleum. I mean, there's a lot of other ways they could have dealt with this.
So the Corexit attacks the fat, i.e. oil, and does what?
Breaks it down.
Into small globules? I mean, why are we hearing that the oil has disappeared?
Well, the Corexit on the surface has broken it down into smaller, you know, globules.
Right, but there are still streams of oil underneath, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're hearing that they're spraying, they continue to spray this Corexit at night.
Yes. So what benefit does that have to anything other than to their agenda?
Well, what is your recommendation for people that are in the in that region? I mean, I'm hearing about this blue plague spreading and people really becoming deathly ill, but I haven't heard about a lot of deaths in that area yet.
Yes, because that's only part one of the agenda. The second part is to introduce a foreign, you know, introduce a bacteria or a virus that will do the second step. My advice is, I have a product on my website. It's called Allicin C. A-L-L-I-C-I-N. It's actually made from, allicin exists in garlic for a split second when you crush it. This guy's actually stabilized it. And Allicin C basically kills bacteria, kills viruses, kills fungus, kills all that stuff. And people that are using it are amazed, you know, at the results. So you need something that powerful to protect yourself with. And, I mean, you can get it through my site. It's a very limited product, meaning it's not, you won't find it in stores, you won't find it anywhere. There's only a few individuals that are distributing it, and I'm one of them.
And before long, you won't be able to do that because the, what's it called? Codex Alimentarius is going to block any supplements, right?
Yeah, eventually, yes. So now's the time to get what you need.
Yeah, that's a very good suggestion for starters. Not that we're trying to paint a desperate picture here, but preparation is a very good idea. And you can get this on your website?
Yes.
Okay, so the website is money...
moneyteachers.org.
Okay. And the product is Allicin C. I recommend that people investigate that. We've also told, on my show, we've also talked a lot about MMS, mineral supplement. By the way, on that subject, I got an email from Jim Humble saying they are now starting to outlaw MMS, and before long you won't get your hands on it. So it's time, folks. We are in the desert days. It's time to start stocking up on these things.
Yes. And the thing
Do you know about MMS?
I've heard it's a great cleanse. It basically cleanses the body.
It does what you're claiming Allison C does. It kills bacteria. It alleges to kill bacteria and viruses as well. It kills malaria in 2 sessions, 4 hours apart.
Hmm. Yeah, you have to send me some information on that. I'll take a look at it.
I will do that. All right. So, where do you see this leading then? You think the first battleground, so to speak, is you infect people with this chemical that opens up the pores. I mean, I feel like I'm such an uninformed person trying to describe this. You said it so beautifully. It breaks down the fat cells so that the skin is not protecting the body. And then zap, next come some kind of a bacteria.
Mm-hmm. And you have the same symptoms as someone with AIDS. And the problem with the person with AIDS is that the HIV has basically taken down the immune system. So they're exposed to other illnesses and bacteria, and they get sick and they die from those other illnesses and bacteria. It isn't HIV virus that kills them. It's usually something as simple as common cold or some other disease because their immune system is shut down. So what these people are doing is they want to shut down our immune systems, and there's a couple ways they can do that. One, I just explained with Corexit. The second way that they've done it is through vaccines. And one of the things that we know that they use is a substance called squalene, which comes from shark liver. And this stuff is basically was designed to accelerate the immune system. That's what it was designed to do, so that the vaccine would work quicker. But the problem with it is that it forces the immune system to continue to battle. It basically revs it up so much that it burns out, and you get the same result. And you can see this with the Gulf War syndrome, which was basically soldiers that received these vaccines with squalene in them, whose immune system shut down.
Yeah, and thank you for serving your country, young men, right?
Exactly.
I mean, not that serving the country is best done by killing people overseas, but that's a discussion for another day.
Well, you know, the soldier's just trying to do his best to be a patriot, you know, I mean, as long as they're not committing war crimes, you know, I mean, I obviously would fully support a man doing what he believes is right, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do too. My point is that, you know, for doing what they believe is right, they end up being used as guinea pigs for all of these hellacious chemicals and vaccines. They're test puppies.
Yes. And that's always been, that has been the case with the military. You go back and look at the nuclear testing that they were doing back in the 50s. And they would have platoons march towards the atomic blast to see if there was any ill effects or side effects. You're right. They've always been guinea pigs.
How absolutely unbearable to think of it all.
It is.
All right, well, let's get into the positive zone now, because this is too heavy for Pat, and let's talk about, all right, great. So we know these things are coming down. I've certainly been talking about them all my life, and my books are cover all of this aspect. But now we have the opportunity to make conscious choices that will affect how we are going to get through this period and how we're going to live the rest of our lives. And so it's very important to be prepared, but not obsessed, because you might as well be dead anyway.
Exactly. You got to have faith, Pat. It all comes back to faith. Believe in God. If you believe in God, and if you are obedient to the principles of your religion, whatever that religion might be, other than Satanism, of course, be true to your principles of your religion. I mean, you know, all religions have basically the same core. And we refer to those as the Ten Commandments in Christianity and also Judaism. But,
yeah, but
the reality is,
I don't like that word obedience one teeny bit. And I'd like to say that, you know, to be a spiritual being, and let go of the religion for a moment and just say faith that, or trust that, the universe is unfolding as it should. And not needing to be obedient to a religion, but to be to live the doctrines of all that is common to all religion, which is to to be the highest being you can be, to trust in, I hate the word God, let's say a higher force, a knowing, a prime creator, without all of the religious dogma or stigma, because some people rebel against, especially today with all of these wars between religious beliefs. Let's just talk about being the highest spiritual being that you can be.
Yeah, exactly. If you're doing that, you're going to be fine. Because here's the thing. What this is designed to do, and the reason it's being permitted, is it's designed to cleanse the earth from evil. So don't be evil. You know, be good. And that's your best protection.
Well, I'm not sure I agree with that concept, because if the guys that are doing these cleansing are operating in the evil zone, I have trouble with the idea that they're trying to cleanse evil out. It looks more to me like their agenda is to raise the darkness factor on this planet. Not, of course. Not cleanse it.
But I'm referring to the other side, the light side. See, we could talk about the dark side, which we've done, and we could talk about the light side, which we're doing. And when I talk about God or whoever you believe in as or your ideal self, it doesn't matter. What it boils down to is that these individuals, their entire plan is based on lies. They're not. I mean, that's the nature of evil, is it's false. So when you start practicing false principles, then the results you expect are going to be totally opposite to what you expect. So, yes, are they going to do everything they can to destroy humanity? Yes. Do I believe they're going to succeed? No, they're not going to succeed. What they're going to succeed in doing is basically destroying each other. That's where we're going to end up with these people, because their hatred not only extends to us, but they extends to each other. They don't trust each other. They're paranoid of each other. They're continually trying to encroach on each other. Everyone wants to be the supreme ruler. And so that is what's going to destroy them.
And I think one thing to always remember, and certainly what I try to impress upon people, is that never has there been a greater time to conquer fear, to get out of fear, because it is fear that resonates with that dark energy, and it is fear that'll pull you down.
Agreed.
So when we talk about that higher self, that spiritual self, it's just knowing you are always where you're supposed to be. You are in divine. Do you believe that the soul decides when it's coming in and going out before it enters?
I'm not sure what you mean.
Do you believe that the soul, that the higher being, before you manifest a body, already makes a plan of when it's going to be birthed and when it's going to pass through the other side? Before it manifests as a baby, as a new life.
Do I believe we existed before this life? Yes. Do I believe there's a plan for us in mortality? Yes. Do I believe that we're moving into a better existence when we're dead? Of course. As long as
we're doing the nature of that belief is that no matter what comes down, the soul determined it was going to come in here and go to school, as I like to refer to it, and it knows when it's going to leave too. So there's really nothing to fear. If you believe in that higher consciousness or that prime creator or that or God or whatever, by nature of that belief, you must absolutely believe that this is a phase of a bigger picture.
Yes, that mortality is designed. See, again, remember, I'm coming from a Christian perspective, but I'm not, I wouldn't say that my beliefs are mainstream, because they're not. Basically, what I believe is that man came from God. That he basically came from God with a plan through mortality, and that we're going to go through mortality, learn everything we're meant to learn here, and then when we're done with it, we're done. So these people have their boundaries that they can't cross over, and no matter what we do, we're going to get the experiences we came here for.
And then go on to another reality to do more good work.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's so important for people to recognize to their own immortal being, that eternal flame, so that fear goes. Because, you know, the one thing you can count on, the one and only thing you can count on in life is death. Everything else is open to creation. But death is the one thing you can pretty much, unless somebody's figured out how to avoid it and hasn't come clean yet, we're all going to go through that portal. And so by that nature of that, it's funny that we're so desperately in fear of everything. Fear of war, fear of pain, fear of bacteria, fear of bombs, fear of everything, fear of economic disaster, which we're going to get back to. And in the end, the one thing that we fear the most is death, and it's the only thing that we know for sure is going to happen. It's kind of ironic.
Yes, exactly. And fear comes from, you know, fear comes from a couple different things. One of the things that I believe and I've learned is that where there's lust, there's fear. That lust is what leads to fear.
Desire orientation.
When I say lust, I'm talking about greed. I'm talking about materialism. I'm talking about sexual deviancy. I'm throwing all those things in there because that's what leads to fear. Because, see, when we do something and take something away from someone else that we know we shouldn't have, then we know that there's justice. We are inside of us, our spirits, our intelligence knows that there's going to be a day of reckoning. And that is why we fear.
Yeah, that and keeping us in the lower chakras focused on like you said, power, money, sex, runaway sex. It's the lower forces, the lower energies that keep you from really getting into those higher sensations of, not sensations, those higher expressions of being that we strive for, a spiritual being.
Exactly. Because the spirit is...
Good.
The spirit, you know, emotions and feelings are important. It's an important part of our existence, and I don't believe they're ever going to go away. I believe that the reality is that we've got two choices. We can become totally sensual. We can become totally physical beings, and we can embrace everything that is popular in this world right now. Or we can reach out, you know, to and become spiritual beings and start understanding the principles of the eternities and realizing that every action has consequences, not only for ourselves but for others. And if you do good things are going to happen to you, and I mean that. I mean, if we spend our life thinking in terms of everything I do has an impact on me and on other people, and think about what those consequences are, there's a lot of things we'll choose not to do. And there's a lot of things we'll choose to do because we realize the positive impact it has.
And there again, you're expressing some of the basic credos of every religious structure because these are classically descriptive concepts of Buddhism, for example, that you are the creator of every reality and as you sow, so shall you reap, which runs through every religion, really.
Exactly. Now, those are the principles I was referring to when I said, we need to be good.
Yeah, I'll drink to that. All right, hold on. I'm going to open this up for questions because Paul and I have gone all over the place here. So whatever you've heard so far that you'd like to ask Paul about, call in toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-815-9756. Let me give that to you again, 888-815-9756. All right, Paul, well, we'll see if somebody's calling in, and let's get back to the question now of the economy, because I, for one, have very little cash, but I really have been contemplating the acquisition of some silver, because I don't buy the total destitute concept, and I do not intend to suffer 1 minute. That's my motto. But I think it makes sense to have some silver coins, just... For example, if there is even a minor disaster where things break down for a while, it would still be good to have small silver coins to be used for trade. Do you agree? Obviously, you agree.
Yeah, the thing about silver is silver right now is so undervalued. Traditionally, historically, the ratio of silver to gold is 15-1. So silver should be priced accordingly. So the current price of gold is almost $1,300 an ounce. So if you divide that by 15, then you come up with $86 an ounce. That's where silver should be right now. Silver's at $19.85 an ounce today.
Wow, so, it's really close since I first talked to you about buying some.
Yes, and it's going to continue. It's going to explode because what's happened is that they created a new derivative in the 80s called silver options, where you can basically bet against futures contracts. Now, for your listeners, a futures contract is simply a mine or someone else that has a lot of silver. What they're doing is they're bringing it into production, and they don't know what the price is going to be a year from now or 6 months from now. And so what they do is they sell that risk to an investor, and the investor agrees to pay him a set price no matter what silver does. If it goes up or if it goes down, that investor will pay them, you know, a specific price. So, for example, if I'm selling a futures contract, I'm going to sell a futures contract on 5,000 ounces of silver for $19.85 an ounce. And 6 months from now, if the price is double that, if it's $40 or $50 or $100 an ounce, I'm only going to get $19.50 an ounce.
Right.
That's a futures contract. Now, if it goes the other way, it goes down, I'm still going to get $19.50 an ounce. So the investor takes the risk of loss, but he also realizes the risk of gain. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but don't you recommend actually owning the silver itself, not just the paper, but the silver coins themselves and the gold coins themselves?
Absolutely. I'm just explaining why you want to buy right now. So here's the thing. The options are basically bets against a futures contract. They're derivatives. Now, J.P. Morgan trades 80% of the silver options and the gold options out there. They buy them and they sell them. J.P. Morgan, which we know is a Rothschild entity. So the market right now, in reality, for every 1 ounce of silver that these people have in their possession, there's 100 paper ounces of silver that are being traded.
Huh?
Yep.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, all they do is they just keep, it's kind of like a bank takes an ounce of gold and they lend $100 to one person on it, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one.
It's so fractional, it's like the massive concept of deflation.
Yeah. So they're basically creating silver out of thin air.
Well, what happens when people start calling in their chips?
Well, there's your challenge. See, here's the problem that they've created for themselves, because silver is increasing in value. What that means is that people that normally sell futures contracts are not going to be selling them, and people that own them are going to take possession of the silver. And so when they collect on their silver, there isn't going to be anything there. The entire futures market and the options market is going to collapse. And silver is going to be worth probably somewhere around, I'm going to guess gold probably will go up to about $10,000 or $12,000 an ounce. Silver will be pretty close to $1,000 an ounce.
When do you see that happening?
By mid-November.
No way.
Yeah, write it down. I've never been wrong on my financial predictions. There's a
mid-November,
YouTube video.
Mid-November, like 2 months from now, silver is going to be worth almost $1,000 an ounce?
Yep.
Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Well, for people listening, that's kind of a scoop. I mean, if you've heard that, you might want to take some action. You sell silver and gold.
I do. I sell silver and gold.
Okay, so people can contact you if they're interested in actually owning or purchasing gold and silver coins to hold on to it. And I wanted to ask you, you're not talking about the silver bags of silver coins. You're talking about pure 99.99% silver, right?
Yes. Far better, because coins can be confiscated. Bullion can't when you're talking about silver.
But are the 1 ounce coins that are considered bullion nonetheless?
The 1 ounce rounds, there's different ways of buying silver. You can buy silver bars, which is fine, as long as it's from a reputable mint. You can buy silver rounds, they're 1 ounces, and they look like coins. They come directly from the mint. The value is guaranteed. The amount of silver is guaranteed. They're 0.99% pure silver. That's my favorite way of owning silver, is through rounds.
But they're not considered coins?
They're not considered coins. They're not currency. In other words, you can't buy something with them just based on the coin, because it isn't a coin. It's not legal tender. Now,
okay.
The third way, you can buy legal tender coins, but understand that those are at risk of confiscation. Countries can always confiscate their own currency.
Do you think they would confiscate silver coins?
The way things are going, I think they're going to be so desperate to get their hands on it for a couple different reasons. One is 95% of the silver that is out there is being used for industrial purposes right now. And if we have a war, that is going to go through the roof. The demand is going to be so high that they're going to do whatever they can to get their hands on it.
Well, then why wouldn't they be able to confiscate silver bullion?
Because silver bullion has industrial uses. So if they took it away from you, they'd have to take away from a factory owner down the street. They're not going to do that.
Right, but I mean, if you're sitting on, let me play the devil's advocate here. You're sitting on bullion rounds, as you call them, or bullion bars. What is the difference between? It's one thing if the industry is using silver for industrial purposes. It's another thing if you're hoarding, as they call it, silver bars or silver rounds. Mm-hmm. Can't they just call them in?
Well, they can only call in currency. They can't call in bullion.
That
when
word
you talk about
"can't"
silver.
Has, is starting to have a new meaning, considering what we're watching government do.
Exactly. But here's the challenge with silver. Now, you can do that with gold. But understand, I could take all the gold in the world. I can put it in a tennis court that's three stories high. That's how much gold there is. That's it.
Wow.
Silver is more common than gold, but as I said, 95% of it is being used by industry. So if they start confiscating silver, they're going to have to confiscate the silver from these factories and from anybody else that uses it, dentists, doctors. They're not going to do that.
All right, I've got a question that's just come in over the net, and the question is, do you believe we're going to have a deflationary or an inflationary depression?
Well, I think you're going to see hyperinflation because the dollar is going to be worthless. See, people think in terms of, well, we're not going to have the dollar anymore. I don't see it as not having the dollar. I just feel the dollar is going to be totally devalued. Just like, if you go and look at Nazi Germany before Adolf Hitler had the Weimar Republic, where they were printing money hand over fist, and it didn't have any value. People were going into grocery stores with a cartload of money or a wheelbarrow full of money just to buy a loaf of bread. That's what you're going to see. That's hyperinflation. Now, on the other side of things, you're going to see individuals who are so desperate for cash that they're selling everything they own. Right now, you're seeing that already. I mean, anybody who lives in the United States, just check your community, look at the garage sales that are taking place, look at the postings in the newspaper. People are dumping their stuff. So that is deflationary. But here's the challenge. The dollar is going to be worthless. That's inflationary. But on the other hand, anything that has value is going to be a lot cheaper, especially if you're looking at housing, if you're looking at land. That's going to go down in value. It has to. Because people aren't going to be able to, you know, there's no way to buy it. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Well, it's confusing for the best of us, but what I understand is, therefore, if you've got a bushel full of worthless dollars, you'll still be able to pick up some cheap real estate.
Nope.
See, I don't get it.
What does one do? This is what you do. You convert to gold and silver with your long-term assets. You keep cash. You have to have enough cash on hand to pay your bills every month. So, you know, I always recommend people do 6 months cash. So figure out your monthly expenses for 6 months. That's what you keep in the bank or under your mattress. And that's what you pay your bills with. Everything else you convert to silver and gold. And then as the need for cash arises, you liquidate the gold or silver. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so in other words, it's a really, really great time to pay down your mortgage and get out of debt completely.
I would just, if you can pay down your debt with inflated dollars, you're better off. $100,000 debt is going to be meaningless, you know, when the dollar of tomorrow is only worth a penny, in today's dollars. So you're better off not paying your debt off, waiting for the dollar to collapse, which it's going to, then send the bank 100,000 of them because they're not going to be worth anything.
Oh, I see. That makes sense. So let's say your mortgage is $2,000 a month. It stays $2,000 a month, and you send $2,000 a month, and that won't even pay for a loaf of bread.
Exactly. You give them, you're still going to be able, but if you have gold or silver, because gold or silver is going to increase in value, not decrease, dramatically increase, then you might have the ability to pay off your mortgage with an ounce of silver.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
An ounce of silver would pay off a mortgage?
Yes.
Holy smokes! That is outrageous. Well, I mean, what we have to really think about is, okay, what's the positive situation here? And how is this going to play out? And, you know, I just can't see anything but opportunity.
Exactly.
People say, you're out of your mind, Patricia. There's going to be just famine and despair. I see opportunity. How can you, I mean, let's put it this way. Every great epoch has had some huge event. And we've been coasting for so many years. And here we are. We are definitely at a transitional moment. I see a lot of opportunity, if nothing else, confronting yourself and getting out of your comfort zone and confronting life in a whole new way.
Yes. And what I'm trying to convey is this, is that when you take a look at things historically, even during the Great Depression, gold went up in value. In the Weimar Republic, they don't tell you about that, but if you had gold or silver, you bought what you wanted. There was a individual, I think it was Henry Mako, interviewed a Satanist, and he's been publishing articles from this guy, and he said, we've got our gold and silver, and as soon as the dollar collapses, we're going to come in and buy everything. That's what he said.
Well, didn't the government confiscated gold in World War II, right?
Yep.
Okay, so if you're sitting on gold coins, they can take them. In fact, I've heard that it's pretty soon going to be illegal to hoard gold. So how do we get around that?
Okay, here's the rule. One country can never confiscate another country's currency. So if you're going to buy gold and you live in the United States, you don't buy American Eagles, you buy Canadian Maples, or you buy Krugerrands from South Africa, or you buy Austrian Philharmonic.
Well, it would make sense not to buy Canadian since they're putting in the North Atlantic Treaty AmeriCord, what do they call it?
Yeah. But the point is that if I live in the United States, I can own foreign currency and they cannot confiscate it. If you go back and look at the 1970s, when it was illegal to own gold, people owned Krugerrands. That's what they were buying. Then Canada came out with the maple leaf, and our government couldn't touch it because it isn't U.S. currency. It's foreign currency. No country can confiscate. What's that?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No country can confiscate another country's foreign currency.
Right, got that. All right, that is the advice for you people. We're out of time already, believe it or not. So here's the suggestion. I've got one quick call. Let's see, Don, if we can we fit her in? I've got Catherine on line one.
A quick question. How difficult is it to liquidate it when you do need to sell it? I think that might be what keeps people away from purchasing. I know myself, I'm afraid I won't be able to know how to network to sell it if I needed to sell it.
Good question. Paul?
If you take a look, you can go to any coin store in your area. They'll buy it from you. You can go to online. There's tons of places that'll buy it from you. I help my clients sell if they want to sell. And either I'll buy it from them or I'll get a buyer that will.
But don't you get
Repeat your website one more time. I'll hang on. Thank you.
Yes. It's moneyteachers.org, moneyteachers.org.
Yeah. All right, listen, people, this man can really give you some advice, and as you notice, he gives it freely. So it's very interesting information. I personally think it's a great idea. I'm going to see what I can do to get myself a little bag full of silver. And without fear, just knowing that it would be nice in an emergency to have some tender it's going to have some value. And for goodness sakes, if it's going to go up to $1,000 an ounce and I can pay off my mortgage, far out. And with that thought in mind, I want to thank you, Paul. You're an enlightenment. Your information has been very helpful. Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me. And obviously, anything I can do, just email me at bdrockton@aol.com.
Yes, I will be buying some silver from Paul, and I recommend that you all take a look at that site very carefully, moneyteachers.org. He's legit. He's got every kind of silver coin or gold coin or bars or whatever that you want to purchase. Find out. Find out about this. Be prepared and be forward-thinking because we see that the money thing is becoming very, very tricky, and it's nice to prepare and have some alternatives. Well, I hate to say goodbye already. Mamma mia, these hours just fly. Thanks to Paul. Thanks to all of you for listening in. Always thinking outside the box of conventional thought. That is our intention, and that is what we do on Beyond the Matrix. So thank you for being here. I hope you'll spread the word with your friends. And listen in next week. I've got Stephen Bassett, who is the guy who's talking about disclosure from the government, and he'll be with me next week. So tuning out now. Thanks for listening in, and I'll talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.